A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Lake City,
KCNS FM, Colville, 97.5, 1280, The Zone,
and The Zone Sports Network.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5, 1280, The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome on in. It is Unrivaled right here, 97.5, 1280, the Zone Sports Network. Brought to you today by the Ford Fan Zone right here at Vivint Smart Home Arena. All you can eat tickets an upcoming game and receive unlimited hot dogs, soda, popcorn, nachos, ice cream, starting as low as $30 a ticket. Visit UtahJazz.com or 325-2999. Buy your Ford Fan Zone all you can eat tickets now. It's our second hour of the program. It's an awesome Friday here for us, even better now that we are joined on the program today by Luther Ellis, University of Utah great, NFL legend also, and the crowd goes wild. See, that's Scott Mitchell's cheering for you right there, Luther. Thanks for being on the show with us.
Hey,
so that's a good thing.
Well, so we were just talking about this, and when you got drafted to the Lions, and Scott had just gotten there maybe, the year before that, when you got to Detroit and you were like, hey, man, two Utah guys staring at each other on an NFL team probably didn't happen all that often.
No, exactly. Exactly. I think that was something very unique, and now it's not, but thank goodness. Coach Witt and the program here, they've done a great job with developing and building up professional, pro guys. So, but yeah, that was something for sure that I think very unique. And I got to be honest, I didn't know much about Detroit, and so I was grateful to see at least.
You still don't know much about Detroit.
But it was great to see at least, someone from my alma mater and the opportunity to get together, and Scott and his family did a great job of taking us in and just helping us out and inviting us over and just making us feel very welcome.
Luther's a good dude. Hey, and I'm so excited for you. I think this is wonderful. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you to come back to your school, to be able to coach here and kind of where the program is?
Oh, it's a dream come true. It really is. This is like a dream job. It's a great opportunity to just be a part of something special, and it has been special for a while, but Coach Witt and the staff and the players and just everyone here, U Nation, has done an awesome job in just making us who we are, and just to be a part of that, to be a part of it in a different way this time, but just still be a part of the family and to do this, it was just a huge blessing. I'm so excited. I can't still believe, kind of walk on cloud nine here, still just amazed that I have this opportunity. And, I mean, to play with Coach Witt and he coached me, and his dad was our DC, and then also to be able to come back and to work under him and take in all that knowledge and just who he is as a person and just what he demands and what he asks of us and our program. I mean, that's why we are who we are today, and just very excited about that.
How did the process happen? I mean, was it one of those things where, it's like, look, you're up in Moscow, Idaho, coaching and getting, kind of turning in your time as a coach, up there, and who got a hold of you? How did that whole conversation start up, and how easy of it was a decision for you guys to come back?
Yeah, it was just – I mean, Coach Powell and had an opportunity, you know, talking with him. We stayed close, stayed connected, and reached out. And said, hey, you know, it might be an opportunity. And then Scally, and then had a chance to interview with them. And that was a lot of fun with Coach Scally and Reef. Got a chance to really sit down and visit with them for a little bit and just really enjoyed that time. And then, when they said, hey, you're the guy, it was just, I mean, the family is just waiting on pins and needles, just waiting and excited and hoping and praying and just, oh, come on, please let this happen. And when it came to be, it was just an exciting moment. It's almost probably like winning the, well, yeah, I did. I have one. I would say winning the Super Bowl. It was just an ecstatic moment where those type of things were just, we were just all so excited. I think and then honestly quite crazy how fatigued we felt afterwards just because we were so excited and just the celebration and just all the emotion that went into it.
So John Teerlink was one of your coaches in the NFL and who I thought was really an amazing coach. And
he is.
Quite frankly, I couldn't stand him because he was so good at what he did. And you guys were always jumping off sides. You're just like a little bit too quick on that snap count. Very disruptive, even in practice. Like it was just so annoying.
Right.
And I have some funny John Teerlink stories, and we can talk about them at another time. How much of an influence does he have, has he had on you as a coach, and what do you bring from that experience with him to this opportunity?
Oh, I think John Teerlink's one of the greatest defensive line coaches ever. The way he thought, the way he looked at the game, the way we ran pass rushing games and things, everything I do now is based off of that. It is from his tutelage and what he taught me, and the reason why he taught us and how we did things is, again, we're up front trying to create a bunch of one-on-one matchups, even if it's a full protection, side protection, back staying in for a moment to chip on his way out, different things of that nature. He's the one that taught me how to look at it and see it, and that you want to base your games off of protections so you can create those one-on-one matchups. So that was something very unique and different than I had learned up to that moment in time, and or honestly, even sitting, listening to other coaches, coordinators, and even other people talk, typically most coaches and
have coaches too many black holes, too many up and downs during the game. We got a.
So he's had a Russian infiltrate the keep going. Go ahead.
Long story short, he really influenced me on how we run games, and then the importance of how you play the run to stop the run because you want to be able to rush the passer, right? He would all say, hey, you stop the run on your way to the quarterback. And his whole point there was never be surprised by a pass, right? It's your job as a player to understand who you're going against, what their keys are, how you do things. You got to take time to study their stances and study all the different little nuances of the game to help you play fast and so you're not surprised by a pass.
Luther Ellis joining us on Unrivaled, the newest addition to the coaching staff up at the University of Utah. And we were just talking yesterday about how, and obviously Coach Pua was one of those guys who was a former Ute as well. And so being able to kind of jump into that spot and have that, but with Morgan Scally as the DC, and then you see other coaches coming in and obviously Quinton Ganther, former running back at Utah, coming in and being the running backs coach. Being able to accomplish not just goals with this team, but doing it at your alma mater, what does that mean?
That's just, I mean, it's one of those things where you set goals, you have visions of what things are going to be like and what you hope for someday and different things to have opportunities and to have this opportunity come along. And again, Shelly's done a great job with these guys. Again, I'm stepping into a great situation. I mean, very talented guys, talented room. Shelly did a great job, great coach. She's done great things with them. So my opinion really is kind of plug and play. I mean, there'd be maybe little differences in things, but not a huge difference. And again, he's a, you know, former NFL guy that knows what to do, how to play the game, what's expected, and the type of mentality and attitude you have to do those things. So, I mean, it's just a dream come true in a sense of, Pac-12 championship last year, Rose Bowl, and it's a great team, meaning they're young and they're hungry and there's greater opportunities out before us. And to be able to have an opportunity to be a part of that is something that could be truly special, and it is going to be special.
You know, I'm curious about this, where you're a former NFL player. You had a tremendous career, college in the pros, and now you get into coaching. And have you found it harder to maybe get a job because you were a former player, that maybe there's some resentment from coaches, like, oh, you know, he just thinks he's just going to roll in here and get a job, and they're like, we've had to earn our way into this position. Have you ever run into that in your time coaching?
So I would say probably no, I haven't really. I've been blessed and fortunate enough that opportunities have come. Been one of those things that you were asked to take a shot or take an opportunity that might be before you. So I've been grateful in that sense. And but I know a few of my other teammates that have tried to get into coaching things, they felt like that, and they felt like there's been some things that because again, honestly, Scott, you know, sometimes NFL guys are seen as prima donnas, and
oh, I hear it all the time.
You know, when it comes to
I know what you're saying of
being a coach, especially a college coach, a lot different for surely than I'd say even the NFL, because you got recruiting, you got, you know, all these kids you got to take care of and watch and help to grow to become, you know, from boys to men, and there's so many much more responsibilities to that I think. Sometimes the guys, honestly, hey, while I was in the league, I just had to take care of myself pretty much, right? Take care of my teammates. But really, it's about you got to do your job, do it well, and those type of things. You know, as a coach, you have such greater responsibilities and greater opportunities, too. But there's so much more responsibility. So I know I can see why sometimes that would come up. And, hey, don't expect to just come in here and have everything handed to you. You know, you got to earn your way and do those things. And because, honestly, a lot of these college coaches – have done that. They put in time and effort and done the little gopher jobs, if you will, to earn that opportunity. And they're great coaches because of it. I'm grateful to go through what I went through to get to where I'm at now. Coach Paul Petrino and Idaho did a great job. He was old school, so he had high demands, high expectations, and things that he expected from us as a staff. And recruiting and everything else, and of course we all did things the right way, and that's how he expected it, and so I'm grateful to him and all those things. But I think I had a great tutelage coming up from him, just because again, he had high expectations. He didn't care where you came from or what your history was. He just wanted you to make sure you were doing things the right way and doing it well.
What is your recruiting responsibility at Utah?
Right now I'm working here at, in the state of Utah. Start out here locally and different things, and then hopefully I'm gonna have the Northwest, kind of going back up there to Seattle area and those Portland area, and then probably Sacramento. But we're still working that out. So
it's a lot. It's a lot of. I mean, that's one thing that Coach Witt always talks about. He goes, "Look, there are two things you have to be really, really good at, and especially if you're Utah and you're not USC, you've got to recruit amazingly, and you've got to develop guys." The room you already have and the guys that you already have here, what's the pitch that you have, though, when you go into guys' homes? Like, what do you want to say to them? What's the message to guys if you want to get them to come to the University of Utah now?
Well, I think look at the future. Look what's happening, right? Look at currently what's happening. I mean, look at the graduation rate. Look what we do academically. Look at the players we develop. I mean, of course, every high school kid who believes he's going to be an NFL player along with the parents, right? You can look at the history and the type of players that we continue to put out here at Utah. And then look at the coaching staff, look at the history, look at the longevity, look at the culture that's been built and that continues to thrive and grow here and things of that nature. So there's stability here. And then honestly, just have an opportunity to be, if not the premier team, for surely in the Pac-12, but I'm talking about nationally, you have an opportunity here because of what we're doing here. And we're just a blue-collar, hard-working kind of a team that, honestly, I would tell kids, if you're not ready to go to work and grind and to be physical and to have mental toughness, then this probably isn't the best place for you. And honestly, that's what we did at Idaho a little bit. We talked about our program, how we do things, how we work hard. Same thing applies here. So I think it takes a special kid to be want to be a U and to want to be a part of this program. But there's great things happening here. And I think when people see that and see the culture and then honestly get around our kids, our student athletes, and the coaching staff, you can't help but love Utah.
Speaking of a parent who has kids that might end up in the NFL, you have a lot of kids, Luther, and you have a lot of kids all over the place. How has that been, and how will that be now? Because you have a son who's at the U and playing.
You had a son at Idaho, though, too, right?
And you know, how do you manage all of that?
Yeah, no, that's one of the reasons I went to the University of Idaho and to take the opportunity to coach there was because my oldest is there and they're recruiting two of my younger boys. So I had an opportunity, right? Not too many dads can say I coached my son from pre-wee ball all the way through the collegiate ranks.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Right, and not that I was necessarily coaching my older two who are linebackers, but I still was in the same room, per se, and on the same side of the ball and had a chance to be around them and continue to coach them and work on different things because both of them are edge rusher type of guys, too. We brought them a lot of blitzes and outside rushes or inside rushes, so I got a chance to work on pass rush skills with them and things of that nature. And then I got to work directly with my son, Noah. At first it was a concern. I mean, I checked with the boys to make sure they were okay with it and that they understood, like, hey, you know, when I get here, your dad, I love you. I'm always going to take care of you. But also when we get on the field or in the facility, I'm your coach. I'm coach here. And we, not that there's not that separation and stuff, but just to help them to understand and just trying to be open with them and to be able to do that. And then there's some concerns, I'm sure, you know, within the staff and within the players and things of that, favoritism and things of that nature. But I think, as any dad knows, typically when you coach your son, you're a little bit harder on them. You push them a little bit harder. And I tried not to, I don't think I did, but not to favor them at all. Try to make them just as good of players as I do with anybody else. So just have high expectations and just ask everybody to meet that. And so being able to do that for my boys is something really special. So I think here with Jonah, with Lewis being able to coach him on the edge guys, and I'll be on the interior, still be one of those great relationships, the opportunity to help him on the little things he wants to work on and do those things. But Coach Kyle's a great coach. He's done a great job with him. I mean, I think Jonah did a great job this year and one of those things. So it's just a great opportunity, again, to be able to coach him and to be a part of our program and to do things what we do here at Utah.
You guys spent quite some time there. I mean, you're going to miss that Kibbe Dome. I know everybody misses that. Everybody's going to miss that old the can on its side there up in Moscow.
Yeah.
But probably won't miss the winters.
Kids,
as much.
Right, it's all 70 degrees and slightly breezy just because they open up the doors. But
right.
Besides that, it's all perfect weather. So there's no excuses why you can't play well in that dome.
It's like almost arena ball. Like, I mean, those goalposts are right up against the edge there. It's
they are.
It's a fun situation to be coming from, and I think everybody's excited to see another big name from the University of Utah who's going to come back and do that. When you saw the Rose Bowl, was there already maybe the thought of the possibility of coming to Utah, or is that something that afterward you watched the Rose Bowl and then this opportunity came up?
Oh, yes, it was after. I did not know the opportunity until honestly about a little over a week ago. So or whenever that kind of fell in place, but it wasn't that long ago. So, no, I was just happy to go to the Rose Bowl and be a fan and to enjoy it and to watch the Utes play. Oh, such a great game, and to see probably one of the greatest games, if not the greatest game in the Rose Bowl history. To be able to see these guys go out and perform and just enjoy it and watch and just honestly just to take a little pride into who we are, being a U and what. Coach Wigham and the staff have done here, and it's just been amazing to be able to sit back and really enjoy that. And just the whole experience, like we went early and to be able to experience tailgating and just the fan and just the energy of the whole game was just amazing. So many more of those to come, and hopefully even bigger things, and we'll see what happens. But it's just one of those things that I've always wanted to coach here. I've always wanted to be able to come back and to be a part of the staff and to work for Coach Whittingham. So it's just a blessing and a dream come true and just a great opportunity.
What do you think is the thing that you can really bring to the table that's unique to you that can really help these players out?
So I'm probably unique to myself. It's just I think my energy, my attitude, who I am as a person. You know, I demand excellence. I demand guys to be their best. But I'm going to work with him, help him to do it. I am also available, and I'm sure these are traits of other coaches too, but it's just who I am as a person. I mean, I love people. I love these kids. I can't wait to work with them and do those things. But I'm big on technique. I'm a big fundamentalist type of guy. I believe in you don't need to be too crazy or whatever. I think you got to get the fundamentals down, because the fundamentals allow your technique and your, allows your athleticism to take over. So once kids really understand that and see that, and they understand why we do what we do in a repetitive fashion to where it becomes second nature, then now you can do whatever, and it allows you to have more freedom to use and to use your abilities. So I think for myself, it's just helping the kids to understand who they are and what they have, what kind of tools they have in their toolbox, and be able to develop those tools. And what I mean by that is even pass rush, taking the John Tierlink stuff and be able to show that. Because, again, that's something still unique even to this date and time where I have chalk talk with different coaches and things of that nature. Some stuff that we do or that John Tierlink taught me is still unique. Again, typically, even in Idaho, blitzes, you just blitz it, right? You blitz it to get the backers or this free or to blitz these certain things. You know, we started designing the blitzes around taking advantage of the protection along with maybe the running back or a different look that they were giving us. So just little things like that, I think, just something that hopefully I can bring to the table, not only for the players, but hopefully for our staff, and just maybe a unique perspective. But again, I know Scally does a great job, and Coach Witt, I mean, very defensive-minded guys that do extremely a great job. So just I can't wait to learn from them, too, and to have the opportunity to just have those chalk talks and talk things through. Because that's honestly, during the interview, that's what I was loving so much, is just that we had a great chalk talk. I mean, I was love listening to the philosophy thoughts and different things, and be able to share my thoughts and different things. And it was just, I really thoroughly enjoyed that.
Luther Ellis, defensive tackles coach now for the University of Utah, former University of Utah great All-American and NFL defensive lineman as well. One guy we got to speak with every week this year during the season was Devin Kafusi. You can give him that look. As a former defensive tackle who is super tall, you know, he already knows he's got kind of a strike against him because of how tall he is, and he's always just like, my dad's always getting in my ear about how to stay low. I can't get high. And so I think it'll be you've got a lot of guys in that room, and we'd love to see what you're going to do with these guys during the year, Coach. So we appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Yeah, Devin has a bright future along with a lot of those other guys. Again, I hear the whole pad level, we will make sure we are playing with great pad.
It's like I love that. We're not like the alumni guys who are like, "No, what's your plan this year?" And like they want to hear your plan, and everybody wants to break it down and like hear it from the horse's mouth about what you're going to do to improve. But man, good luck to you. We're looking forward to it, and hopefully the Utes have just as successful a season. And thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate the time.
There you go. Coach Luther Ellis, appreciating him on the program today. Man, it gets you excited, doesn't
it? I'm so excited for Luther. He said he really is a tremendous person above anything else, and he will be so good there in so many levels. I mean, just the football side of it, but the human side of it is just is phenomenal.
It just sounds like
exciting.
It'd be tough on a recruiting.
It's a no-brainer to hire him, by the way.
Well, and just when he's no-brainer in your house, it's kind of a no-brainer to not follow that guy, right? I mean, that's what's hard is that you want to believe in the guys who are in front of you, and you're going off of just, like, lots of promises, things like that. But this is what Utah, I think, has going for it, too, is when you're able to have these former coaches who are also or former players who are also former NFL guys, and they know that the goal is these kids want to get to the NFL. Let me get you there, but let me show you how to get there. Let me show you exactly what you need to get there. Awesome hire. That's cool. Jonah got that sack in the Pac-12 championship game, and I remember thinking to myself, oh, boy, another Ellis. Jeez. How many are there?
He really came on. I mean, he's a young kid, and he's got a body to grow into. But he was a kid. He made a lot of plays, big plays for Utah.
Nice one to have his first career sack in the Pac-12 championship game. So, all right, If you want to hear, if you miss any of that, our conversation with Luther Ellis, you can always go back, listen on the podcast. Just download the podcast Unrivaled wherever podcasts are found. You can also go to the KSL Sports app, download the podcast there, and listen to any of the shows on the Zone Sports Network all day long. You can stream it there. You can also go and listen to episodes of all the programs across the day here on the Zone Sports Network. We'll come back. We got more to go on the program halfway through. What looks like, we got tons going on because we got the Jazz pregame coming up tonight, and so we only have an hour and a half left of the show. So stay right here with us. More to go. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.